The Word for Life ministry is a ministry of Brookside Baptist Church. We always try to use this ministry to maybe reach into your home or maybe into your car, or you might even be to work already, and just kind of cause you to pause and think. Today, it's our joy to have Dr. Dean Taylor, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church, Simpsonville, South Carolina, and previous pastor of our own church, Brookside Baptist, with us as we continue our conversation of impacting our community. And Pastor Dean, the last time we were talking, you were mentioning the idea of using your home. And we were just kind of thinking about, wow, that's sometimes an unused tool in God's toolbox.
You know, we talked about Matthew and how he invited his associates, business associates, and people that he knew to a banquet to meet Jesus, and took place in his home.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a great example of that. And actually, I did a quick study through the New Testament, and there's one example after another of people in the setting of their home ministering, you know, hosting church groups, just all kinds of things. And it is, you know, our homes are a perfect place and setting for ministry and for evangelism.
Well, share with us a bit about what you learned as you did that survey.
Well, one, you know, of course, the example of Matthew, Luke 5 says that he did that in his own house.
Mm-hmm.
There's Luke 16:9, in which Jesus is challenging people to use their material possessions for good things. He calls it unrighteous mammon, material resources.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you know, use those things to influence people for eternity. And I guess a good question is, you know, are we using our material resources just for our own benefit, or are we using them in a way that is a ministry and brings glory to God and serves Him? Then you go through the book of Acts and you read in the epistles and you see, again, one occasion after another where church gatherings took place in homes and people met there and used them in that way. And then there's the New Testament concept of hospitality.
Right.
Which the word itself in the Greek language means to love strangers. And so hospitality is more than just having a few close friends over, you know, to watch the football game or get together after church on a Sunday night. It's opening our homes and our hearts to people that are totally new to us, which can sometimes be a little bit uncomfortable. But again, the idea is I'm turning my heart toward them,
right?
Not just doing what is comfortable for me.
Mm-hmm. And when we do that, they are very quick to pick up on the fact that here's somebody that cares.
Yes. You know, if somebody invites you out to lunch or to do something, or especially to their home, it's almost a surprise sometimes. Wow, really? You know, that would be great.
And, right.
And there's an instantaneous connection. And then when you spend an hour or two together in that setting, you become friends. You know, it's the most natural thing ever. And, you know, as Christians, you've probably experienced this, Pastor Greg, and many believers, I think, do. When you go to find a place to live, whether it's an apartment or a house or a condo or whatever, as a believer, you pray a lot about that. That's a big decision. It's a major financial commitment. And I've seen so many wonderful things happen as God provides us with a place to live, you know, with a house. He leads. He provides. Very specific things happen. Well, I think it's pretty clear that God led you to that place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We've had the great blessing of getting to know some neighbors around us where we live now. We've lived there for about 3 years now. And develop relationships, and even through that, start a neighborhood Bible study. And one couple that were formerly Roman Catholic, they're seeking a lot of questions. We've started studying the Bible together, as well as just kind of praying for her through an ordeal with cancer and all that. And one day she said, God put you here for us.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, that's it. You know, this house where you move in and meet these people, and from their perspective,
sure,
God put you here for us. That's powerful. And I think every Christian's in the same situation. You are there for someone.
What type of Bible study do you do with neighbors? Is it a topic, or is it maybe a book of the Bible? Exactly how do you approach that?
It's been a real interesting thing. There are different ways I know that people do a home Bible study. Let me just tell you how it's worked for us.
Okay.
The people in our neighborhood are pretty much all new to the area. Some have moved from out of state. Some have just moved from other parts of the community, but new to this neighborhood. and they're getting to know each other. It's all new, and these people enjoy getting to know each other. And then through that, we got to know this neighbor across the street. She was going through cancer. She had questions, you know, where's God in this,
mm-hmm,
you know, that kind
mm-hmm.
of thing. And one day I just said, would you all be interested in a Bible study? Just kind of put it out there, because we were already talking about God and those things. And so I asked her that question. She said yes. So we had them, and we invited some other neighbors that we'd gotten to know, and to our surprise, about six couples showed up.
First time?
Yes, first time. I said, we're going to talk about it and just see where this goes. Just come if you're interested. So the next thing I did was I said, all right, if we're going to do this, you're going to decide what we're going to study.
Okay.
So I took nominations, had a little whiteboard out there, and wrote down, here's we can study this topic, this book, this, you know, idea.
Right, right.
And we took it down to the top three, and then we voted. We voted to study end times prophecy.
Oh, wow.
yeah. So here we are with these neighbors. And really at that point, I think one or two of them maybe attended a church somewhere, but several of them did not.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, unbelievers, seekers, some believers maybe been away from God. So this real mixture of people. And they want to study end times prophecy. So that's probably one of the most challenging topics for anybody to study, much less teach. But we did it. We did it. And we met every other week on Friday night from 6:30 to about 8:30 and had refreshments and got into the Word.
Child care?
You know, none of these families actually had young children.
Okay, okay.
So we did not. We weren't in a position to have to provide that. But that is something that, you know, you can do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, which can help, especially with younger couples.
You know, the neat thing about your home is the fact that you can, as much as possible, take the phone off the hook. You can keep from having all the interruptions that when you're out in a restaurant, you know, whether it be their loud music or a loud person next to you on their cell phone or whatever, you can maybe have more of a quiet interaction opportunity.
Yes, it's true. You can control the environment. People feel comfortable. They sit on your couch and, you know, we pull in the dining room chairs so we have enough, and it's just very comfortable, very casual, and they open up and they ask questions and they share their ideas. And, you know, sometimes in a more formal setting, they might be a little bit reluctant to do that. You know, we've tried it other places and it hasn't worked.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord just opened this up for us, and this time it has worked extremely well.
You use the verse in Luke 16 about making friends for yourself with the possessions that you have. The very next verse says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking many times, Pastor Taylor, people will say, but my home is so small. It is so ill-equipped to have any number of people in. And I've got old furniture or this or that. And immediately my mind went to that verse. He that is faithful in that which is least. I remember having a family that invited an evangelist who was preaching for us to their home for supper one night during the revival. And we got there with the evangelist, and they didn't have a dining room table or chairs or anything. And I looked around, I thought, oh, this is going to be good. What in the world? They said, we are eating Japanese style. And we all sat on the floor. We had some little pillows. And I thought, you know, these folks would have a perfect excuse to say, we can't do this because we don't have a dining room table or chairs. Instead, they said, how can we do it?
Yes. It really comes back to pride, doesn't it? We want to be well thought of.
Yes.
And it's natural. When I talk about this, I say two things. One is you can be clean, you know, clean the house.
Sure.
Keep it, make it neat, clean,
right.
Mow the grass, you know,
right.
Whatever. And then you can be simple. You know,
mm-hmm.
It can be simple. And I heard a similar story of somebody who invited some people over after church on a Sunday night, and they had popcorn and they sat on the floor and ate it, and it was awesome. It
yeah.
was the best
yeah.
thing ever. And it can be very simple. It doesn't have to be showy or anything. And we use what we have, you know, it's true. And I think most guests, if we feel comfortable, they'll feel comfortable.
Sure, right. We had an evangelist one time, of course, being a pastor for over 40 years, a lot of stories, but we were very poor. Just started this church, and Ruth said, honey, I don't hardly have anything to feed him. All I've got's a little, I've got a can of oysters, and I've got some milk. And I said, well, let's just make oyster stew. And she said, that's it. I said, we can maybe afford a box of crackers. That'll be it. And she said, okay. So she made oyster stew. For years following that, whenever we would see him around the country, he would immediately say, everybody served me meatloaf or beef or this or that. You folks were the only people that ever served me oyster stew, and I loved oyster stew.
That's great.
And we would always laugh, and we never told him that's all we had to serve him. But God honored that because we had a desire to have an investment in somebody's life. And I think that's the way we have to look at our neighbors.
And the truth is, what works in people's hearts is the Word. So when we sit down, we open the Bible, we go around the circle, take turns reading a verse, so everybody reads a verse. I present some things about it. We talk about it. We get interaction. So that's the main thing. That's what's going to reach people's hearts and bring them to faith in Christ and change their lives. You know, not the dishes I use or the condition of my furniture.
Exactly.
We're giving the Holy Spirit an opportunity to have access to their hearts through the Word of God. That's the key.
Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And you don't have to be a seminary professor to do that, do you?
That's exactly right. And that's something, too. You know, and it's intimidating because people do have hard questions. You can always say, let me check on that. Or another really good response is, who'd like to look that up this week? Get somebody else involved.
Right, exactly.
We can read the Word, we can talk about it, and God uses that.
And when we have that spirit, everybody laughs and they say, yeah, that is a good question. And if nobody volunteers to look it up, then you say, okay, come back next week and we'll actually see what the Word has to say about that. Then you've got a week
exactly.
to seek somebody's advice and counsel. But in doing so, you are letting them know, I care enough about what you care about to find the answer. So what you're telling us, Pastor Taylor, is that in doing these things, we are going to grow in our knowledge of the Word as well.
It's always good to be in that position of having to present truth to other people because it challenges you to learn and to grow and interact with the Word, pushes you to that, and we always grow through that, and that's a good place to be.
That's great. Well, I trust that as you're finishing up listening to this broadcast this morning, that you are willing to be stretched. Just remember, a rubber band is no good unless it's stretched. So when God stretches you, gives you new opportunities to be a blessing in the lives of your friends and neighbors, always take the opportunity. Be stretched. Be blessed.